Well, good morning. Well, something caught my eye a few days ago. Now, we're going to go back a little bit, in fact, 6.5 years. And some of us who are here, members of the church from round about then, may remember this time. There was a big debate in Parliament on the subject of abortion, right? Abortion, taking living children out of their mothers' wombs and killing them. That's about it there, I'm afraid. And that was being discussed. And we would have thought, wouldn't we just, that there would be absolute revulsion at the thought of such things being done and women there being willing to happen, this happen to them. And many of them we know aren't particularly happy about it themselves, but still go through with it. Well, anyway, there were people trying to say, well, look, let's try to claw back a little bit here and stop some of the abortions that are happening and make it now illegal for a woman who has been carrying her child for 24 weeks then to have an abortion. Let's cut it down to 21 weeks and see if we can get some improvement there. But others said, no, no way. We are not stand for that. We are going to mobilise against this. We insist that women should be able, any time, every time, not to be hindered. If they want to get rid of the child that they have, well and good, let them do it. It's their choice. And so there was a big, big discussion in Parliament. Sadly, the measure that we'd hoped might just at least reduce some of the abortions in this country, it failed, and there were people who were cock-a-hoo. They were delighted that they'd been able to succeed. However, what did catch our eye was that in the House of Commons, where this vote was, there had been some bad behaviour by some MPs. And it seemed, although this gets a bit complicated, this, that the votes that the parties were allowed, you could either vote for it or against it, and the leader of the party wasn't saying, and I'm telling you which way you're going to vote, so watch it, that apparently didn't apply. And so you could just vote, as we'd say, according to your conscience. And so various people did, or rather they tried to. Because we learned that there were some MPs, and particularly some women MPs, not like any party political point here, but on the Labour benches, who were trying to bully some of these MPs into going and voting to keep abortion as it is, and really making a bit of a nuisance of themselves. And some of us wrote to our MPs and said, is this true? What happened there? And I don't think we were utterly convinced by some of the answers that we got back from those MPs. So that was 6.5 years ago. Well, one of those MPs who was part of this group that was sort of pushing for the abortion and trying to stop people who were wanting actually a vote. I don't think I do like abortion much. I think I might vote actually to change the law, and who got a bit bullied, intimidated and warned that if you do this, we won't forget you. One of those MPs was actually interviewed by somebody who, again, was very much all for abortion and all these things, and described this particular MP as being, I quote this actually, because it's in her article from 2008, refreshingly disinterested in caution and, again, truly disinterested, even when she says and does apparently anything. So it's a bit of a law unto herself. And she is quoted there as saying that some of her fellow Labour MPs are Neanderthals. They're back in the 1950s in terms of their attitudes. Now, that was 6.5 years ago. Now, come to recent times. The MP's name is Emily Thornberry. Now, some of us, perhaps, who have been following the news lately, and for some of our church members now, this is an area that they're familiar with down in Kent there was a by-election, wasn't there? And during this by-election, the MP changed sides and, well, they had to have a by-election, a particular MP took a photograph of a house, claiming it was Rochester. I gather it was actually Strood, and had a white van in it and some St. George's flags outside of it, and tweeted it. And an image of Rochester, unless you really meant Strood. Anyway, there we are. She didn't get that right. She didn't get much right, actually, as it turns out, because this went out then onto Twitter, and there was a furore. What a misjudgment. It looked as if she, living in, we understand, a £3 million house there in Islington, was looking down her nose at these sorts of people who have flags in their homes and drive around in white vans and such things as this, and that from her lofty heights, this all looked a bit sort of, these people here. Maybe even say a bit Neanderthal, I'm sure, to quote a phrase that she used back in 2008 of some of her fellow Labour MPs. she had to resign. Apparently the leader of the Labour Party, Mr. Ed Miliband, has never been so furious as with that, because it suggests that the Labour Party there looks down its nose at actually the people that it really needs to vote for it if it's ever going to get into power again. And that was a disaster. And so she has gone. Amazingly, for somebody so given to being refreshingly disinterested and saying what she likes when she likes, she was a shadow attorney general, where I thought being discreet and careful in your words and things was very important. Gone. Ah, there we have it. You see, we prayed, actually, back then, and we pray still for politicians, for people in government and leadership, and we pray that God's will be done. And we pray for justice, and we pray for such things to happen in that way. Well, we might have said, that vote was lost. That was a waste of time, wasn't it, then? No. Here we are, 6.5 years later, because I sort of remember some of these names and the files of these people, and I'm very boring, really, but anyway, I keep all these things there. There it is. Fancy that. Fancy that. And there she self-destructs, amazingly, and with great damage to her own reputation and her party's reputation, gone. I doubt that she'll resurface too comfortably back into political life after that. Lessons, then. Lessons. Don't think that because God doesn't answer your prayer today, or the next day, or the day after that, that was a waste of time, then. Don't ever think that. One often thinks of how the Lord sort of stores up our prayers and keeps them there. And he remembers what we pray 6 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. He even remembers the prayers of people that are no longer here. And their prayers for our generation and for their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Who knows how in the divine economy God is going to work out his plans and answer our prayers. Who would have thought, who could have imagined that this MP, who's taken up some very obnoxious positions in the past, and I guess still does, but now has suddenly, and we have to say in disgrace, had to exit mainstream front bench politics. Prayer, God hears. Secondly, don't think that you can insult God or treat him as foolish or act against things where God has so clearly said that this is what I like and desire, this is what I hate. So he hates abortion and he hates the loss of life taken in that way. And so for somebody to make such a stand on this and to make it almost like part of their life's work to promote this is courting God's displeasure. And the Lord, if you remember in Acts chapter 12, how Herod, the king there, how he killed James, the brother of John, and had Peter put up in prison, though Peter then was able to escape because of an angel. But then in the same chapter, and this is perhaps a few years later, we learn that Herod himself got proud one day, making a big speech, and they were saying of him, the voice of a god, not a man, and the Lord struck him down. And it says he met there a particularly gruesome end. The Lord knows how to deal with his enemies, and he will. Don't be one, because it leads you forward into difficulty, disasters of one kind or another. The Lord does not forget. That psalm we read a moment ago from Psalm 137 about Babylon, the Lord did not forget Babylon, and he repaid her in the end for her arrogance and for her treatment of the Lord's people. Oh, it does say in the Bible, doesn't it? Touch not the Lord's anointed. That gets misused so many times, but there's a truth there. God's church is precious to the Lord, and those things that are in Scripture are precious to him, and we don't pick a fight with the Lord on those things. He always wins. So, have faith in God. Have faith. We can feel at times, can't we? It's so difficult in this age. We feel like the people there in Babylon, in a foreign land. Well, far away, but a small company of people and this world out there full of various people and all of their power that they have. Well, yes, but that's often been the way in the life of the church. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with us and he has a way at times there of asserting his right and his authority. Sometimes we have to say it can be mighty amusing too, the downfall of certain people who have opposed him and acted in underhand ways. So God is not sleeping. you honour him and keep praying to him. His will be done, his kingdom come. Let's sing our next hymn, 126, It Passeth Knowledge, That Dear Love of Thine.